So this morning we're going to continue in a series that we've been doing over this last couple of months. We're calling the series DNA. We're talking about the stuff that's inside of us, the spiritual makeup of who we are as we reflect the nature and the characteristic of our Heavenly Father. You know, when you talk about DNA, genetics, heredity, a lot of times we just think, first of all, in the natural appearance kind of things, that you know, our eye color, our hair color, how tall we are, not so tall, how athletic we are, or maybe we didn't get that from our parents. But those are those genetic kind of components. But then there are those behavioral things that we pick up from our parents as well. And that's reflected in the kind of thoughts when we say something like father, like son, or the apple doesn't fall far from the trees. And it's kind of amazing how often, and you've probably experienced this as well, your kids will do something and they'll say, "Well, man, he's just like you." And for whatever reason, I don't know if it's anybody, maybe it's just me, but it seems that normally when they make that comment to me that my daughters are just like me, it's right after they did something kind of ornery. You know, maybe it's just me. Maybe that doesn't happen to you. But then there's this other word that kind of falls into this, and it's called genetic disposition. Genetic disposition, that because of our genes, because of our hereditary, because of the DNA that we receive from our natural parents, that there are some things that we are disposed to. It doesn't mean that we're necessarily gonna manifest in our life. It doesn't mean that they have to, but there maybe is a greater likelihood that those things are going to show up. And we kind of see that when you maybe you're going to a doctor for the very first time and you have to fill out that medical background questionnaire, ask you all kinds of questions about your past medically. You know, have you ever had surgery? When was it? What was it for? Have you ever had this type of disease? Maybe what kind of medications you're currently taking? A medical questionnaire. And then you get down to a part in that where it asks about your parents as well. Did your father have, did your mother have cancer, heart disease, die early, whatever? And as you're going through that, I know I've been through that, and I'm kind of looking at, yeah, my dad had diabetes, my dad had high blood pressure, my dad had heart attacks. I'm thinking, thanks, Dad. But here's the deal. It's just because you're genetically disposed in a direction, it doesn't mean that it's automatically going to happen, right? Maybe we have some choices. Maybe there's some things that we can do to either encourage those things to happen or discourage those things from happening. Well, I want to talk this morning not about our natural parentage, not about our natural DNA. We're talking about our spiritual DNA. We're talking about not our earthly fathers and what they've passed down to us. Some of our earthly fathers, they pass down good stuff. They pass down negative stuff. We have to deal with that. But when we're talking about our Heavenly Father, I want to tell you that every one of you who are sons and daughters of God Almighty, He's your Heavenly Father, I want to tell you that you are genetically disposed in a good direction. I want to tell you that there's no heart attack, there's no cancer, there's no negative stuff that you have genetically received spiritually from your Heavenly Father. All of the stuff that we've gotten from God is good. Can somebody say praise the Lord for that? Amen. Amen. And so we're going to talk about that this morning and the fact that, you know, like every kid growing up wants to be like their mother, wants to be like their father. We've just got that drive inside of us. And so as we look at this spiritual genetic disposition that we've been given, I want you to recognize that you have a choice. And you get to decide, okay, so God has made it available. It's in my genes. It could develop spiritually in my life, but am I going to avail myself? Am I going to put myself in the position? Am I going to put forth the effort to see that actually mature, to see that actually develop, to see that actually manifest in me? And I want to encourage you today not only to recognize that we've got a good Father who is well genetically disposed us to good things, but that we get the choice of deciding, I want to be like my Heavenly Father. The good news for us today is that every one of us in this room, whether you're man, whether you're woman, it doesn't matter whether you're young, whether you're old, every one of us can make this choice and make this decision that I really do want to be like my Heavenly Father. I really do want to reflect His character in my life. And I'm going to do everything that I can, everything that's in my power to allow that to happen. In Mark chapter 10, verse 18, Jesus is having a conversation with an individual, and he comes to this point, and in the conversation, it says, "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked. "Only God is truly good." And then in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, kind of a parallel passage of scripture, here in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." Jesus is saying about our Heavenly Father that He is good, that He is perfect, and that it is up to us to make every attempt that we can to be as much like our Heavenly Father as is possible. It was a half a dozen years ago that Chris Tomlin released the song that we've sung right here in our church entitled Good, Good Father. And in the words to that song, it says, "You're a good, good father. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. And I'm loved by you. That's who I am. That's who I am. That's who I am." Two really important phrases there, that God is a good God, number one, and number two, that we are loved. You know, there's a lot of people who struggle with those concepts. There's some people who struggle with the concept of whether or not God is really a good God. You know, and sometimes we see bad things happening, and we ask this, you know, age-old question, if God's such a good God, then why do bad things happen in the world? Well, I mean, I was thinking about that this week, and as I was just kind of meditating, praying, it's kind of like this picture dropped into my mind. I don't know if it'll help you out with this or not, but it kind of helps me with that concept. And just imagine that you went to the car lot, and you picked out a brand new car. It's like got 0.2 miles on it, where they rolled it up onto the truck and rolled it off of the truck and delivered it. It's not got a scratch on it. I mean, this car is perfectly made, and there's no fault in it at all. And that's the way you receive that car. But then, through choices of your own, you decide, "I'm not ever going to wash this car. I'm never going to vacuum it out. I'm not taking good care of it. I'm going to, you know, race it at the highest end of the RPM range that it's possible. I'm going to try to, you know, see how fast it'll go. I'm going to even decide that I'm going to ignore all of the traffic laws. I'm going to run through stop signs with this car. I'm just going to just go and do whatever I want to do with it." And one day, your car is a wreck. Who are you going to blame for that? Are you going to blame Ford? Are you going to blame GM? Are you going to blame the person who made the car? Or are you going to take personal responsibility and say, "It's not their fault, it's the decisions that I made that turned this perfect car into a wreck"? You see, I think sometimes people have, and when we see that, we realize that's, you know, that would be silly to blame the manufacturer of the car because you're running 150 miles an hour through stoplights and you wreck it and smash it all up. To think that you could blame the maker of the car for that is so ridiculous, but it's just equally ridiculous for us to blame our Heavenly Father who made this world perfect, gave it to us perfect, gave it to humanity flawless, but humanity decided that He wasn't going to take care of it, that He wasn't going to take care of the life that we had been given, that we were going to make choices of our own, we're going to go in our direction, we're going to do what we want to do, and we wrecked our lives. It's crazy to look to God and say, "God, why did you let this happen?" No, God says, "I gave you a choice, and you made things happen." Now, sometimes things happen in our lives because somebody else decided to wreck their car, and they chose our car to wreck it into, right? And so sometimes that actually happens as well. But again, it's not God's fault when bad things happen. So I just want to encourage you with that God is a good God. But another thing that's so important there is this understanding, and I am loved by him, that he really loves me. You know, I'm blessed to have had a good father in the natural. A man who, you know, from the time I was a baby was bringing me to church. A man who taught me right from wrong and wanted to make sure that I had every opportunity to know the Lord and to serve the Lord. And I'm so grateful, so thankful that I had a father who loved me and cared about me. But not everybody has that kind of a father. I understand that. There are a lot of people whose lives are broken today because they have father issues. Maybe dad wasn't there. Maybe dad abandoned them. Maybe dad rejected them. Maybe dad didn't know how to show them affection. Maybe dad did not know how to give them applause when they had done well and to affirm them. And you know, so dads come in all kinds of packages. But our heavenly Father is a good father. And whether you had a good natural father or a not so good natural father, whether you have to deal with the pains and walk through life and find healing, I want to tell you that when it comes to our heavenly Father, he'll never abandon you. He will always love you. He always has your best interests at heart. He always wants to do what is good for you. And I just want to just really drive that lesson home in case there's somebody today who questions, not only is God a good God, but does he really love me? Let me just go through a couple of scriptures today, and I'm not going to be long this morning. But when you think about the fact that God is a good father, we already talked about in Mark and Matthew how that he is good. But then John says to us that he not only is good, but he does good things. Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I shown you from my Father." God is constantly doing good things in our lives. And then not only that, but God gives good gifts. James says every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. We read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that God loves us and offers us hope through grace. It says in verse 16, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace." That word hope has just been in my spirit today. Again, as we were singing the song and hearing the word of God, that God wants to give us hope and it is a good hope that we have through grace. And the Father who is good and who does good things and who offers us good hope and who gives us good gifts is the Father that we want to emulate. It's the Father that we want to be like. Lord, teach me to be a good person. Teach me how to give good gifts and to bless others. Lord, teach me how to offer hope and healing to the people that are around me. And then, of course, you can't talk about our Heavenly Father without being reminded of how Jesus taught us to pray when he said, this is how you pray, our Father. I want to tell you, when you're praying, you're not just praying to our God. I want to tell you that when you pray, you're not just praying to our Creator. When you pray, you're not just talking to the great omniscient one or the great omnipresent one. That when we pray, we are talking to our Father. What a huge dynamic when you turn the pages from the Old Testament to the New Testament. In the Old Testament, you see God in his power. You see God in his awesomeness. You see God in his ability. But in the New Testament, we discover God in a personal relationship that we can have with him. God is a good Father, and he loves us. We're loved by him. You know, sometimes, again, we have a hard time understanding, does God love me? Can God love me? See, a lot of times, because we live in this broken world, we measure love by whether or not we can earn it or deserve it. And love so often is performance-based. We learn as maybe small kids, we begin to learn that. When I do good things, I get the love that comes back. When I don't get good things, it's something besides love that comes back. And so we start this process of trying to earn love and perform for love. I want to tell you, you do not have to perform for God to love you. He loves you all the time. You know, we say God is good all the time, but God loves you all the time. I've said this before, you've heard me say it, you'll hear me say it again. There's nothing that you can do that'll make God love you anymore. But here's the other side of that coin, and I love this. There's nothing that you can do that'll make God love you any less. God loves you. You don't have to perform to earn His love. He doesn't love you based on who you are. He loves you based on who He is, a good Father who loves you. And when I look at that and I understand that concept in the Scripture, I'm constantly drawn back to the story of the prodigal father. The story of the prodigal father. I know you're thinking that I'm getting all tongue-tied again like I did earlier when I called Crystal Alicia, but I'm not tongue-tied when I say the prodigal father. I know, you think it's the story of the prodigal son, right? But when you look at the word prodigal, what it means like lavish and wasteful. And I understand how that applies to the son. He lived a pretty lavish and wasteful lifestyle, wasted away all of his inheritance. But that also describes the kind of love that the father had for the son. It was a very lavish love. I mean, he poured out his love. You know, he didn't like, just, I'm going to give you just enough. He poured out his love until there was overflow, until there was a wasteful excess in the way that he loved his son. That's the way that our father loves us. Let's just read that story, and then I'm going to close. It's found in Luke chapter 15. To illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all of his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. I just want to pause right there. There's only one way that you can see somebody coming from a long way off. You got to be looking for him. You got to be looking for him. I want to tell you, this father never quit looking for his son. He never quit loving his son. I don't know if it had been weeks or months or years that had gone by. Jesus doesn't tell us that. But however long it had been, I can see that father early in the morning. And again, maybe sometime in the middle of the afternoon. And again in the evening, he would peer out on the horizon looking for that familiar gate that he would recognize. I know that walk from this far off. That's my son. He was looking for him. And filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. And he doesn't get to finish his speech. Remember, he's going to add in that line about, would you just hire me on? Would you just give me a job? But he never gets a chance to finish his speech. It says in verse 22, but his father cuts him off and said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet and kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. And so the party began. Maybe that's what I should have named my message today, is so the party began. I want to tell you today, your Heavenly Father loves to party. I'm not saying with drugs and alcohol, but He loves the party. He loves to celebrate when His sons and His daughters come home. Would you stand with me this morning? Lord Jesus, we thank You for introducing us to the Heavenly Father. Not just to a distant God that is way out there. Not just to a God of the past who created the heavens and the earth. Not just to some awesome, powerful deity. But Lord, You introduced us so that we can personally know and be in relationship with our Heavenly Father. A Father who is good. And a Father who does love us. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to be like You. Lord, we want, Lord, the genetic disposition of being Your sons and Your daughters to fully mature in our life. Everything, all the DNA, all the spiritual inheritance that You have for us, Lord, we want to receive it. We want to walk in it. Lord, we want to experience You and know You as our Heavenly Father. Lord, if there's anybody in this place today who's ever questioned whether or not You're good, I pray, Lord, that those questions would be erased. And Lord, that they would understand that You are indeed good. Everything that You do is good. Lord, that the bad things in this world aren't because of You, they're because of us. And the choices and the decisions that we've made because of the enemy that's at work in this world. But Lord, You are good. You are good. And if there's anybody here today who struggles with believing that You could possibly love us, we failed You in so many ways. We sinned and done things. We're stricken with our own guilt, our own self-condemnation. How could God love me? Lord, I pray today that like that son who at the lowest point in his life came to his senses, remembered the Father's house, made the journey home, made the decision, and then made the journey, truly repenting. Lord, I pray like him, if there's anyone who has left the safety, the security, the love, the provision of the Father's house, thinking somehow that we could do it better on our own, that we didn't need You, Heavenly Father. We were just fine by ourselves. Lord, if there's anyone in this place who's made that decision and come to the realization this isn't working out so well, Lord, that today would be the day that they make the decision to turn around, to go back home, where they'll find a loving Father waiting for them with outstretched arms, ready to receive them and pour the best of heaven into our lives. I wonder this morning, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if there might be anyone in this room today who would say, Pastor Tommy, that picture of the prodigal son, it really does describe me. I once knew what it was like to live in the Father's house, to experience all the blessings, all of the good things that He has. There was a time in my life where I knew I was born again. I knew I was a child of God. I knew that my name was written down in heaven. I knew that eternity was mine with God. I knew all of that. But then I made some wrong choices. And I've walked away from the Father's house. I've walked away from His love. And if I'm just going to be totally and completely honest with God and with myself today, I'm anything but saved. I'm anything but in the Father's house. And I want you to know He loves you still. He loves you still. He's not turned His back on you. And like the father in the story, He's looking for you. He's looking for you. He's wanting you to make that journey back home. says that the father ran and met the boy where he was. I want to tell you, if you'll take one step toward God, he'll take the rest of them back toward you. If you're here today and you know that that's the decision that you need to make, you need to come home to your heavenly Father, would you just raise your hand saying, I'm ready to surrender my life to God. I see the hands here. Are there any others? Any others this morning? Just being honest today. Yes, I see your hand lifted. Thank you. Thank you. Are there any others this morning? God's speaking to your heart. You're ready to come home. It's time to get it right. Why don't you write where you're standing? Why don't you just begin to speak to God and pour out your heart to him? Maybe tell him something like this. Dear Jesus, I've failed you and I failed myself when I rejected your love and decided to try to do it on my own. I made a huge mistake and I've wrecked my life. And I can't blame you. I take the responsibility. But Lord, I'm reminded today that you still love me. You never stopped. You still want the best for me. You never stop. You still want to save me. Pour into my life. Call me your son and your daughter. So, Lord, I'm coming to my senses today. I'm coming home. I'm coming back to you. And I just simply say, Father, forgive me. Forgive me. I believe that Jesus died on a cross and paid the penalty for my sin so that I could have the gift of everlasting life. I freely receive your gift. Thank you for saving me today, for washing me and forgiving me today. Thank you for welcoming me home to the Father's house. Amen. And the Bible says that they rejoiced. I want to ask our prayer team if you'll come and join me down here at the front, and we're going to close this service. I know it's Father's Day, and many of you have got some places that you want to go. But I want the prayer team to come down. If you made that decision, you just recommitted your life to the Lord, let our prayer team know. We want to give you some information that will help you in your walk with the Lord. Would you join me in a closing prayer? Heavenly Father, we love you today. We thank you that you're a good Father and that you love us. Help us to reflect that spiritual DNA. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. God bless you all. If you need prayer, please come and join us here at the front.